All right, so it's 6 o'clock and we'll start our work session. So the first thing up is the fence line.
So there are some slight modifications, a little less restrictive to the one that we currently had the public hearing on. Bob and I worked on it a couple days ago and came up with a new...
Gerasi.
Bob Gerasi.
There's two Bobs.
I'm sorry. Bob Gerasi and I worked on it a couple days ago and came up with a new draft of it, which you guys all have in front of you that says new. Some changes were made. Some things were taken out of it. One major change that was taken out of it was, one change that I could think of that was taken out of it was trees, right? Some people have trees as a fence line as well, too, so we took that out. Bob did a nice little purpose of what the fence law is, nice summary in the beginning. And then one change that I would say that we would have to make to this, talking with our town attorney, is instead of a sketch under applications for permit, have a survey of where the fence is going to reside, right? However, if it's within 3 feet of your boundary of your property line, a survey is required. If you're going to have a dog kennel or have a fence in your backyard, in the immediate back portion of your backyard for a dog, you know that's right in your backyard. You don't need a survey for that. Right. The purpose of the survey is just to make sure that you know it's not on your neighbor's yard, and that's it.
Okay, but if you get a survey, that's a $500 cost.
Most homeowners already have a copy of their survey.
Oh, so they would only need a copy of it.
Yeah, you don't need to have a survey. They have a copy of a survey.
The map.
Yeah, just
no,
the map.
No, I understand that, but when you're saying where is that?
Well, it isn't. It's
oh, it's not. Okay, yeah. But that's...
The problem is if we give a permit, based upon what we were talking about it before, a homeowner comes in and has a sketch.
No, I'm with you, but...
It's got to be a licensed survey.
Right, but if you have, like mine is over 10 years old. As long as I got...
A survey, right.
Yeah, it could be 10, 20, 30. So it could be a copy of a survey.
Absolutely.
It hasn't changed.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, as long as we write it
and
up like that.
And the sketch will be on the survey so that we know that based on their sketch, it's within their property.
Correct, absolutely.
Well, they can draw it in. I think that's what they make you do in the village. If you, like I just got my fence, so I had to give them a survey. Then I had to draw in where it was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're looking at.
And I agree with this adding this, but I'd like to ask Al a question, and because I think you have more experience than all of us put together. All right, I have a paper survey of my property. It's right here in front of me, right? And I'm making that up. And I'm going to put a fence, and I'm going to say I'm going to put it right here. But my paper survey is accurate. But how do I know, or how does the town know that I know that where this line is on paper is out there in the field? So that's why you would actually hire a survey company to actually put a stake down, right? So maybe the paper survey even is not enough. You're
going to chime in? Hang on, I'm out. So. Here's why the paper survey is enough for us. So for you, from a civil matter, if you put the fence on your neighbor's property, your neighbor will sue you. If we gave you a permit based on you showing us a paper survey that's saying, I'm gonna put my fence right here, here is my property line, it takes a liability off of us from a civil standpoint.
Right.
It puts a liability on you. Your neighbor's not going to be able to sue the town if you put your fence over the property line. If we gave you a permit and we didn't have any sketch or any survey to put up a fence, we could get sued too.
Is that accurate? I mean, it's not, yeah. As long as we got a survey and they're showing where it is, it's too, and they would, on the diagram, they would say
how far from the
exactly. They how far right on 1 foot and
6 inches.
Yeah.
So if they got their line wrong, that's on them.
Yeah. That's on them. Right. The onus is on the homeowner, not the town.
On the homeowner, not the
permit
on the town.
Because we're doing our due diligence with that. Okay.
Just like if we issue a building permit. We won't issue a building permit unless you give us a copy of your survey. Say you're building a shed that's bigger than 144 square feet. You got to get a permit from us. We got to have a survey. You got to show where that shed's going to be on your property that it meets the setback requirements. or if you put it up and it's over on your neighbor's property or too close to the setbacks, you could come back on us.
Okay.
If there's ever an issue.
So that's the best of everything. I mean, all it requires, doesn't put any onus on the homeowner to actually hire a survey company. As long, that's beautiful. And then the onus is on them.
Yeah.
To put, I like that.
So do we want to wait to modify this?
Well, we can add that one line.
Yeah. Oh, we did?
Yeah. Well, can you add that one line? And then it would be on the first page. It would be under application for
Tony
permit issuance.
Modify that one line. That's all. We're making it less restrictive anyway, so.
Right.
Okay, so we would
By
a plan or sketch showing a proposed action.
By a sketch.
No, just by a
survey.
A sketch on a survey of where the proposed fence location is.
And in that case, then it can apply to any and all fences, even a dog fence in the back, right? Although you don't need a permit to do that in this thing, I don't.
Yeah, think. Kennel is different. Right. It's
so that, okay.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that somebody comes in to Tim and says, "I need a permit. Here's what I'm doing." He may say, "Well, that's a dog pen. You don't need a permit. Okay. Bye."
Yeah.
You know, so that he's got some discretion there, obviously.
Okay.
Now you brought up dog pen. This doesn't prevent somebody from having a metal fence dog pen, right?
Okay. No.
Nope. This only concerns
a
fence.
We good with that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so are we going to vote on this tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, the other change that
okay.
I talked to Bob about, on the last page, it says it, applicability.
Yep.
I want to take that whole paragraph or the whole sentence out and follow applicability. This local law shall take effect immediately upon filing with the New York State Secretary of State.
Yeah, because that's what it does,
that's
right?
They, yeah.
As soon as we file, yeah.
So, but we don't need to. We don't need to talk about it.
So, when we break, why don't you and Tony get together so that we can. We have it so that we know what it is.
Yep.
You know, at least everybody can take a look at it. Okay. Good with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So does this, the fences are currently in use that don't apply?
It doesn't apply to that.
It doesn't apply.
No.
Okay. So the next one is Jamie Kraft's start date.
Yeah, I'll bring this up because I was the one who brought it up. When we voted in executive session, and this is obviously I wasn't paying attention, we voted to hire the start date of this employee who's already a town employee was a day after a holiday. And, you know, when I found that out, I just don't think that, you know, the guy worked that day and we've cost that employee money. And I don't think that's the right way we should start employees off. I mean, I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that, but I don't think that's how you welcome a new full-time employee that's been working for the town for how many years, Ken? Part-time? I just think financially that, you know, we're talking about a couple hundred dollars that makes up to the employee, but that's a lot to probably the person that does the job.
What do you mean he worked that day? He worked his start date? What do you mean?
No, he worked...
He worked overtime on Sunday, yeah.
Right.
In the Monday. But he got paid time and a half.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So he was in one job on that Sunday. What was it, Sunday and Monday? And then we moved him to the new one on Tuesday?
To full-time on Tuesday.
Did the other MEOs work on Monday, the holiday?
No.
Yeah, no, just...
He was the only one that I recall.
Yeah. I mean, we cost the employee the holiday pay.
Well, we didn't cost him anything because his start date wasn't until the 22nd.
He got paid regular pay that day, right?
He got paid overtime, yeah, time and a half.
He got paid overtime, but because of we chose a day the day after, and that's not even the beginning of our town work week. I believe their work week goes from a Monday to a Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, I just look at it this way, and this is my personal opinion. If it was a new employee, I could see starting them on Tuesday because we have a town holiday. But I, you know, the more I think about it, I don't even, I'm questioning myself on that. But to take someone part-time who's been doing the full-time job because we needed that person, and then to really get down to the nitty-gritty of costing the person one day of holiday pay because we chose to start him on a Tuesday, I just think it's...
So
I just don't, it doesn't sit right with me, but I'm one out of five.
So he was working part-time?
Correct.
We voted to hire him full-time starting Tuesday 22nd because Monday was a holiday.
Right, right.
Which we normally would have done, I think, probably.
Correct.
What you're saying is, one of the things you're saying is, he came in and worked his, over the weekend, overtime.
Right.
So he got his overtime pay. But his official start date is the 22nd.
Right. So, in essence, he lost the holiday pay for Monday. And he ended up working it somewhat.
Right, which would be, you know, before and after the holiday. Is normally where they get paid if he did both.
I mean, I know this is a very small technicality, but to the person involved, it may not be.
Well, what's going through my head is that a new... we decided to hire somebody on the week that had a holiday in it. And I would have not even thought otherwise but to start them on the day after the holiday if it was a new employee. And the irony here, I think, is the fact that Monday was a holiday. This guy would have been off. He would have not worked that day. Nobody works on a holiday except highway people happen to work on this day. And so it wasn't, you know, anything complicit on our end to try to deny him anything. I was assuming, you know, his new job would start on the first regular day of the first regular week, which was Tuesday. And it just so happened that he worked on that day. So, and he got time and a half, I presume, for working that.
He did. He did.
So, you know, I don't feel that uncomfortable. And I'm just, always goes through my head in these things is, what precedent are we setting here? And or what's, you know, and maybe there isn't any, but I'm thinking that when we hire people, we want them to start on the first official normal day of a week, as opposed to, I don't think you'd ever hire somebody, and guess what? Your first day happens to be a holiday, and you're off, but we're going to pay you for it. I don't think we would ever do that.
Nobody does.
I can't think of
it. Nobody in government does. I checked with the state. I checked with the county. I checked with not every town, but multiple towns. Not one of them would start them on a holiday or does start them on a holiday. I checked with,
if they were a current employee going to full-time status or a brand new employee.
They would never start them. They would never start them on a holiday. No, that's right. They wouldn't start them on a holiday, nobody. And I checked with multiple, two or three other private businesses. I don't know who you work for, but if you checked, did you check with them to see if they would have, when they would have started them?
We're a different company.
Well,
we'd start them on Monday, and if there was a holiday, we get a holiday.
You checked with them to say that they would start them on a holiday? If it was Christmas Day. If it was Christmas Day.
Because I make that decision, so yes.
So you would start them on Christmas Day?
Right. If somebody started, and the work week started on that work week.
The work week for them starts on Sunday, according to their timesheets.
Okay,
that's when it starts. But nobody in and here's the other thing: if a private companies are different than municipalities.
Absolutely.
Private companies, if I own a company and I want to pay somebody a bonus, like my friend, when they do a good job, he gives them a $500 bonus. We can't do that. Private companies can do a lot of things municipalities cannot do. And that, to me, is one of those things. We have the fiduciary responsibility to take care of finances for the town. So to me, we just can't give people, just because we like them, you know, give them extra money. We can't do that. We're prevented by law by doing that. And the other thing
are we prevented by law from starting somebody on a holiday?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
No, I didn't say that.
I was just clarifying for myself.
No, I didn't say that. But, you know, when you said, you know, you made the statement that we went into we voted on it in executive session. It wasn't voted on in executive session.
We discussed it in an executive session.
We discussed.
Made a motion after executive session.
We came out of executive session and made the motion. But you said in your emails that where is it? Well, it's in here somewhere.
We had the discussion in executive session.
Well, you said we made the motion. What you said in your email, you said when we make motions in an executive session, we have to keep records of it. Well, yeah, that's the open meetings law. And any time we do that, if you see me, I'm writing down who said adjourn
right.
and whatever.
Right.
So I did all that. We always do that, and we have to by law. But what we did was, if you recall, we came out of executive session, and I came out here to say if there was anybody out here, we would have come out here, but nobody was out here, so we did the motion in the back. So it wasn't that vote was not done in executive session.
No, it wasn't done in executive session. What I also said was the date was brought up, and I agreed to it, and I'm one person. And if the board feels that the person doesn't get paid for the holiday, they don't get paid for the holiday. That's fine. We're talking about one employee, and we're talking about a town where we might hire four people a year that are full time, maybe, and that's probably three too many. But I just feel that that's not how you reward a current employee going to full time status. If the rest of the board feels that way, that's fine. I just feel like I made a mistake. I thought about it. Federal holidays don't mean anything to my job. I work 6, sometimes 7 days a week. So a federal holiday, it was pointed out on Tuesday. I asked Ken and he said, oh yeah, because I remember writing, you know, it's all twos. So that's shame on me for not paying attention and thinking about what that cost the employee. But when someone worked before and after the holiday, we're not talking about an office person that just starts their work week on a Tuesday. I just look at it as we're small enough. It's not a huge amount of money that we're discussing when, you know, we're making changes in other areas that are huge amounts of money.
Well,
and
I would
I just
say
look
this.
At it, you know, the person's been doing a full-time job. We picked the date that we just decided to pick on February 22nd.
Well, no, we didn't.
Picked it 2 weeks before that.
We didn't just decide to do it. That was the date that I suggested on the 22nd because the Monday was a holiday. So we didn't just pick it. I came up with the start date, you know, with on the 22nd because the Monday was a holiday.
Right.
And
I thought we
rewarded him by giving him a full-time job and giving him benefits. That's not a reward? That's not rewarding somebody for doing a good job?
I'm not saying it isn't a reward. I'm just saying the person was already doing the job we appointed them to.
Okay.
So if we had picked Friday, this wouldn't even have been an issue because he would have got the holiday pay. That's all I'm saying.
Unless we picked the all I'm thinking is we made a decision to hire somebody. We picked a date which seemed as though it was a logical date because it was a day after a holiday, a federal holiday, so it made sense to start that new employee. I know that employee's been working part-time, but it's a new position. It's a full-time position. It's new. And that was a decision we made. I'm good with that decision. I think if it were me as an employee, I'd be glad. I'm full-time now. I'm not being called in, you know, part-time being called into full-time. I'm full-time. And I got benefits and all of that. So So to me, I don't regret the decision we made. Like I said, if we had decided to do that on the following week or the previous week, it wouldn't even be, thank you, Al.
Right.
So I am good with keeping it the way we had it, and congratulations to Jamie Kratz for getting having a full-time position. I'm happy for him, really.
Okay.
But that's just me. Jeff, I don't know about you.
Yeah. But going back to your email, moving forward, if we make motions in executive session, they should be recorded.
No, that was what I meant to say, is moving forward, if we do make motions after executive session, I guess we should come out here, turn the recorder on, make the motion, and be done with the meeting. That's all.
So there was nobody out here. So you think we...
Or we turn the recorder on and we make the motion. That's all.
What's the difference if we document? All we're doing is documenting that we're making a motion, which we did do.
Right.
So what is the difference?
It's your prerogative. It's your session. It's you're the supervisor.
But no,
so that's how you choose to record it?
No, I'm asking you, what is the difference? What is that accomplishing that we don't accomplish by taking the minutes, which we did? I wrote down the motion. We took a vote and then we adjourned. What are we going to accomplish by whether we do it in that room or we came out here? What are we accomplishing?
Nothing. You're correct.
You know that. I thought I was missing something. That's why I did it. I mean, if, like I said, if there was a reason, we would have come out. If there was one person here,
right?
Then that's why I came to look. I said, let's see if anyone's out here. If not, then we don't have to pick up all our stuff and come out.
Right. Nope, you're correct.
All right.
So what do you want to do with this motion? This motion...
Well, if there's three people that don't support it, we can just remove it from the meeting. That's all. I just wanted to make sure for the 24-hour rule, if people supported it, the public knew that there was going to be a motion.
Well, to your credit, Kevin, I will promise you this. I think taking it off the agenda, it's your prerogative, it's your resolution, it's probably the smartest thing. But I think in the future, we'll talk about all this for new hires and making sure that we're all on the same page. Is there a holiday here or whatever? What's the best? You know, because I can guarantee you, I can't speak for the other these three other guys, but not a thought went through our heads that we were going to deprive somebody.
Oh, I.
So.
I didn't even think about it at the time. That's why, when it was brought to my attention, it was a different deal to me because I didn't think about it. But it was clearly stated that it was a Tuesday. So
here's the other thing with that. That will we got to change all his documents for county personnel. We got to redo all of that. And according to Nancy, that could affect his insurance as well. I don't know how, I didn't get into it, but she said, yeah, that could affect his insurance.
Right.
Okay. Well, does he want that?
So it's not just a
$200
thing. It turns into a little more than that, is what you're saying.
I don't know how it affects it, but she said, yeah, that if we change the start date, that affects his insurance. Okay, so I don't know how it affects it, but generally if it's insurance, it's probably not in a positive way. Because I think his insurance started, it already started, right?
Well, let's kind of flip the script on this, though, right? Monday was a holiday. Normally, instead of have him start on the following week, we let him start 4 days early.
Oh,
Tuesday,
you can look at it.
We rewarded him that way. So
one, I haven't even spoke to Jamie Kratz about this.
Yeah.
It was brought to my attention. And I thought about it as it's sort of a different animal when the person's working for us currently.
And here's the other thing. I did work for the county, and I was involved with municipalities for, you know, over 30, well, not 40 years. But if you work for the county, you didn't get paid for holidays until you completed it. It was at least 60 days. You didn't get paid for holidays. You didn't get insurance. You didn't get any of that. And that's with the county. I'm pretty sure the state's pretty close to that. I haven't checked with municipalities, but we aren't doing anything that isn't consistent with what the industry does.
Right.
Everything we're doing is consistent with what normal practices in the industry, which our industry is public service and municipal, we're a municipal corporation.
So me being new, do we give full-time employees insurance on day one in the town of Lysander?
No.
Okay.
No.
So what's their...
I think there's, well, I say no.
A waiting period, I think.
There is a waiting period, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't read the contract or...
I don't think so.
Yeah,
starts the day, your first day.
Well, it would depend. It would.
Jen got the first day.
It would depend on when they come in, though. I mean, I don't think they get it. I don't think the day they walk in the door, they get insurance. I don't think that's how it works with insurance. I just don't think so. Now they're eligible for it day one, but I don't think the insurance takes effect until. I'm not sure. I know it's a qualifying event, but usually it takes time for that to kick in. Usually it's the first of the month, the next month, the following month. I could be wrong about that, but
I don't think that's what the contract reads. But okay, like our contracts don't read that way.
I don't know how the contract reads. I haven't delved that far into the.
No, I'm sure. I don't know when the it says you're eligible for it from day one. It doesn't.
Correct.
There's no waiting period, but that doesn't mean that it takes effect on day one. It takes effect when the insurance company can put it into effect. And I think it's the previous or the following month. I think I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure. I didn't check.
Well, let's get clarification on that.
But in any event, I mean, as soon as they come in, as soon as they can get it, we give it to them. Just like with Jamie. As soon as he can get it, he got it.
Right.
You know?
That's fine.
So what do you want to do, Kevin?
Oh, we'll remove it. Okay. When we start the meeting, I'll...
Okay.
All right. Highway Department floor repair.
Yes. It's not necessarily a repair as laying... So the foyer was done with the false planks, and the rest of the office is still the old mustardy yellow scarred battered floor, and my office is threadbare carpet, which is mostly just a dirt path. the other issue is the reason about what I'd like to do with the molding is the footers are setting. So the floor and the wall is actually coming apart. So putting planks up, some cold face, some quarter round, and hopefully we don't have any issues with mice or whatever crawling through the holes that are in the floors. So basically, these are the measurements. The costs are itemized right down to the trim. And the reason why I separated the entire amount from just the small offices is if it's too much to do all of it, I would appreciate if the board would at least do it in my office. So. That's why we're 864. It's just says right there, just for the two small offices. But pretty much just to update it. Boost. It looks nicer when the public comes in. The guys get an idea that things are starting to shape up and look better, and hopefully it'll have some, morale. I don't know. I just think it's. It would be nice to continue the floor from the foyer.
So what are you putting down on the floor in this proposal?
It's the...
Laminate.
Yeah.
It's laminates, the planks.
They click the...
Floating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Who's going to do the floor?
The guys offered to do the floor. Actually, Jamie Kratz and John Butler were the ones that... did all the measuring for me and came up with the numbers.
So this just comes out of our or allotment for building improvements or
building
improvements?
Yeah.
I don't know, it seems reasonable to me.
And we're good with the money in there right now. We don't have
It wasn't included in the projects list. That was the budget we did but there's money in there. It's just a matter of, you know, if we need a resolution to spend it because it's a different project, or if we can just, if we're good with it, we'll order.
Oh, I think we do, right? We got money in building projects.
Just a resolution, whatever the amount of money is to be paid out of.
Oh, okay. Then we got that here already, right?
So this includes labor as well, too, and material?
Yep, no labor involved.
No labor.
Yeah, they're doing
my
that. We just did my son's house. My son did a great job on it.
So this is like
hired.
I think we're hiring out.
About 4,200 total now?
Yeah, 42, 10, 48.
Okay. So we don't have... you think we need a resolution to do that?
To approve if we're going to spend it out of the fund that we haven't. If we already listed the project.
Yeah, but we haven't. All right. So we don't have it on here now.
You think we can add it or have to wait to following?
No, let's just add it.
Let's add it.
For an outside number of $4,500, I mean, do you want to make it absolutely to the penny, or do you want to just up to $4,500?
I think we should give a little cushion there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Is there a cushion built then on this? 10%? Yeah, because there's waste. With this stuff, and my son just got through doing it, there's 10% waste. So do you know if they built that in?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so I think you should, because even with the materials, they said, they say there's 10% waste on it. So whatever the cost of materials are should be...
bump it to 4,600 then.
46?
Yes, John Butler knew what he was doing when he put this together.
Well, if they don't spend it, they don't spend it.
We can verify it.
Right.
Well, yeah, but...
You've got the measurements right there.
Yeah, this adds up to 42, and Al is saying 46. Yeah, I mean, it's up up to. So
yeah, up to, right.
So. Yeah, I'm good. Just at 46.
So we don't have it on here. So motion GH... So what do we, why don't you write it up, Al?
I was seeing if you could account for the
10%.
Yeah, we'll just do the 10% in there and just in case.
Because it's up to, if he doesn't spend it, put it towards another project.
So we good with that?
Yeah.
Can have Al... Once he figures up the numbers, then he can write up the resolution.
He's got 10% of it. He's got more than 10% of it.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
At that, at what? What's the total price, though?
And it's not 4,210 because the 1190.
I don't have the number. Where do you see the number?
Where's 1190?
Oh. The square foot, the flooring for the entire thing, the 1190 square
each.
Feet.
Right.
1190 square feet is the big room plus the three small rooms is what it looks like to me.
Correct.
With 10% on top of it.
Okay, and then it's separated out.
Now so the total is 33.4. Okay, so now I see what he did here.
That's why it says the tire.
Yeah, the total is 33.46, and that includes the 10% waste.
All right.
So
and then
if you
got
bump it to 3,400, you'll 3,500 or something like that. That'll be fine.
Okay,
that'll cover everything.
Yeah,
all the areas.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you want me to write that resolution?
Yeah.
And that'll be.
See. Okay. So why don't we talk about the highway trucks?
Okay. I do have three bids. I think we have a strong truck to purchase. They're a ways off, and during the highway committee, actually, we just. Going to look into going to grind. So I'm going to have these priced out again with the box that will allow for those saddles. See how soon we could, you know, I need to get a hold of some of the other municipalities that use it. How much of a hassle is it to, you know, take care of? What are the benefits you notice? And then hopefully, you know, move in that direction. It's going to save quite a bit on salt. And I believe it's going to help keep the trucks from being overloaded because boxes are smaller. So just as a, just as the ballpark, the truck that I believe we should look at is this Freightliner. I wish I should have made some copies. But anyway, I'm not ready to present it, but the cost is $230,605. So that would be the cost of the new trucks.
With the system we have current.
Yes, that includes...
If we go to Brian, that might be...
Right. This is just including the regular box, the regular spreader, all the framework, the front plow and the wing, and then all the hydraulics, yeah, that's the whole thing. But I wouldn't know what, with the muni body that has the saddles on, I was gonna go over there tomorrow and see what kind of cost difference there would be. The Freightliner is also 6 months sooner than either the Western Star, and we won't consider the International. So that still puts it out at about 18 months. So.
So you want it, you want us to have a resolution to order it now?
I think you want
to right. Do more. Yeah, I wanted to see what the price of the other bodies yeah. was.
But I mean, that's what you're looking at. As soon as you come up with the
yes,
one you want,
yes.
you're looking at ordering it out, because if we're 18 months out...
You order two.
Within the next few months.
We sure. order two, because we're not going to... we're working on updating the equipment plan, but it looks like
yeah.
we have the funding. If we do what we have in mind now, we would have the funding to order two for the 2024,
right.
coming in the 2024.
But we did that 5-year plan, so we're the third year into it right now.
Everything has changed.
No,
yeah.
hold on, you don't know where I'm going with this. We're the third year into it now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we already ordered our truck for this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggested before was to come up with another 5-year plan, knowing that where we are at. Okay, that's all I was saying.
Yeah,
you know, because that plan needs to be modified, so let's come up with another 5-year plan, because
right.
because yours is the biggest number, so that helps us with budgeting moving forward.
And part of that plan is two trucks to order this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it's a 5-year plan. You know, once you come up with it, we'll take a look at it, and then... we'll go on it. But yeah, I that makes sense. I mean, things have changed. You know, you got to order the things, but we'll come up with another 5-year plan. And that 5-year plan could mean, you know, doing two trucks in...
it does make the... It will update...
2024.
Very, very quickly. We'll have a much more reliable system, hopefully even a truck for another route.
Yeah.
Ken, this is... I'm really... impressed with, you know, the work you're doing on this. So, and I don't know anything about salt, except I know what it does. But so, is everybody moving to brine? And are there cons to brine? Is there a negative to brine?
For your car, it is.
I don't know if it's for cons,
yeah. Sticks to your car better.
I haven't really looked into it just yet, but I don't know what it would be. Probably just that. It's going to make things rust out faster because now it's a liquid.
Yeah, right. Your cars.
For cars.
Yeah, cars.
So I think the drawback to brine from the only drawback that I'm aware of from a brine. I don't think it makes a difference whether from a rust standpoint, totally, because no matter what, our bodies are our. Vehicle bodies are going to get salt on them, and they're going to be wet when they get salt on them, so the salt's going to stick. So I don't think it makes a bit of a difference whether you're putting brine down. But the big difference with brine is, I don't know if you ever followed a salt truck down the road, but you can see about 30% of the salt doesn't stay in the road. It rolls off to the side and sprinkles off to the side, so it's not effective. So the brine activates the salt so it's soft. When it hits the road, it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't go off to the side of the road. So if you have your spreader set right, all the salt is getting put on the road and staying on the road instead of ending up in the ditches.
What is it going to do to the infrastructure, the culverts, the pipes underground? Is it going to eat them away, erode them away faster than regular salt?
No. Because the salt's already activated when it goes in the culvert,
yeah,
because it's already turned to the water's turned to a liquid form anyway. So there's zero difference.
What's the difference in cost, though? There's got to be a difference in cost.
It should reduce your salt usage by 20 to 30%.
Because we're not dumping it on the side.
Instead of your salt going off the side of the road, mm-hmm. you're keeping it all on the road.
Right, but what's the additional cost to
the
brine system?
That's the research I
have. I know Steve and I looked at it, you know, 9 years ago. It was like $200,000 for the shop equipment, and then there wasn't a huge increase in cost to buy the muni body. It was like $15,000. The difference between the muni body and the square box bodies. But when you look at what our salt usage is every year.
Well, that's that, and here's the thing. I'll use this analogy because I don't know anything about that. But if you get a hot water tank, you can buy four of them for what it costs for a on-demand tank. You know, but on-demand is more efficient and everything, but there's an additional cost. So with me, I'm doing hot water tanks because I'll probably outlive the other thing. And the additional cost, is it really worth it? So I'd have to look at, you know, what are the numbers?
The return on investment,
the ROI. Yeah, return on
investment. Exactly. Yeah. We just talked about this. I think we're in a unique situation having Ken, having the municipal experience that he's had between the village and now seeing our setup here. And, you know, I tell them, I go, if this is something, you know, you and Al go and meet the vendors and talk to people, and that may have changed in 10 years because there's more people using brine systems.
Well, plus you can, I mean, there's, what's the county do? Does the county use it?
Yeah.
They do use it?
Not around here.
Yeah, well, it depends on what garage you're out of. Like, they have a bunch of brine system for the Camillus garage, but they've got it in the Matty Dale garage, the Manlius garage.
So you got, I mean, with them, they should be able to, and they do a pretty good job at, you know, because Jennifer came from the county, and she's doing a good job with our stuff. But they should be able to tell you, you know, what they're paying, you know, where the savings are, you know, the overall cost of it, as opposed to their savings, you know, how long it's going to take. So
this is a three-hour-old idea.
I was going to say, this just came up at the committee meeting, so
yeah.
It's in a very new stage.
Right.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, but
I will come up with the numbers.
But yeah. I didn't want us moving forward with a truck plan that we don't have the boxes and the right stuff. Right. To move to that, and I said, Ken, we're sort of in a pivotal point in our replacement schedule of you don't want to get that far in and have six trucks. Oh, Brian's the greatest thing ever, and now we got six trucks that aren't.
So here's the thing. We have some fairly new trucks.
Correct.
Would you retrofit those, or would you just start buying new trucks that could...
Just the new trucks.
So we'd have a dual system for right now. So, okay.
You don't have to use brine all the time.
Well, that's right. See, I don't know.
You typically use the brine when you're pre-treating for an event. It's situational. It's not like the thruway where they're spraying brine no matter what.
Yeah.
Different.
Apologize for the dumb question. You're still buying salt, and you're just putting it in this thing, and it's mixing it up into a brine solution. So the salt, you're still buying the same salt.
But much less.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a, you know, this comes back to possibly getting Dickie John's and, you know, measuring and actually quantifying what we're using on the road and adjusting what we're using on the roads. So it's sort of big, but I'm like, if we're going to make that, let's do it before we start ordering $400,000 or $500,000 of equipment.
So here's the other thing. Who, the people that we have working over there, they haven't used brine.
Right.
So who's going to be regulating how much it goes in, and how is that regulated in the vehicles?
It's so the machine they have to turn on the spinner and the auger also has a liquid pump. So it'll have amount of degrees. And what I'm hoping to get to is where all, and we definitely drop test it, but the Dickie John's will help. We drop test all the trucks, which is, it's a process where you determine how many pounds of salt per lane mile the truck is putting down. So what it would be is running the roads, seeing it's a blizzard. You're going to want to run, tell the guys, okay, you're going to run 400 pounds. So it's not no more is it to just turn up the dial because you think they need it.
Right, right.
Type thing. So
yeah.
That's what the brine is the top of that effort to, you know, trim the salt cost down and provide a better road surface, actually.
So is there going to need some training with these guys? Are they going to have to be trained in how to use it, or is it a sophisticated system? Or
no, I believe it's just a big tank that holds it. You pump it in there. There's what they call them saddles, but they sit on the side of the truck. There's a spray bar, and it's just a matter of turning it on and off the switch.
The other thing we got to look at, because our plow routes are so long, is can we get through our plow route with a standard tank?
Right.
I mean, our plow routes are...
Yeah, they're long.
They're about 1.5 times what a normal plow route.
Yeah.
Two are over 70 miles, so it's a long ways.
Okay. All right.
So I'll do some more leg work. I'll give you some numbers next time I show up. Sweet.
Auditorium AV.
So, the original company I was trying to work with ghosted me. So we went to another vendor, this Visual Technologies. They put together a nice design for us and proposal. All the equipment is off of the New York State OGS bid. We had $38,000 in the budget. If you want one of these, don't care. You'll see on the second page the total. They put tax on there, which obviously doesn't apply to us. Came to 38,182, but he gives us a range for the labor for the install. You can see he ranged it from 8,325 to 10,990.
And he's on the high side too with his quote. So
yeah, he said that. He's like, I gave you the worst case scenario on the high side. He goes, I don't anticipate we'll use the whole 10,990. He said the big difference is it's open plenum and drop ceiling, so the wiring should go fairly quick. So this will give us capability to stream meetings. This will give us an 80-inch punch screen monitor in here. This will give us two wide-angle view remote-controlled cameras. It'll give us the sound mixing, audio mixing, or video mixing, a zone mic that'll take care of all the bench, one new wireless mic for people addressing the board, the cart for the monitor to stand on. It's basically it's the whole system, and it's expandable, it'll do what we want it to do, and then some.
Excellent work on this. On the camera side of things and the video, how does this fit in with the presentations that you and Supervisor Wick sometimes do with the computer? How does this interface with that?
So you would be able to put the presentation up on the monitor. It'll be touchscreen. So if you wanted to draw a circle around something or highlight a number, you could do that through the touchscreen on the monitor. And you can take a camera, focus it on the screen, and have your other camera focus on the person. And you could, if you wanted to stream it, you could have a split screen with the presentation and the person speaking at the same time.
So this monitor, is that going to go over there somewhere?
Yeah, it'll be on a stand, and you'll be able to roll it out away from the wall.
Okay. How big is it?
80 inches.
So all it's not your fault, but all the times you have some trouble with the computer and the projector and all that goes away with this?
Mm-hmm. Should. I mean, this includes, he did.
That's the hope.
I hope so.
Technology, yeah.
Unless Al was the one causing the trouble.
How does school go every day?
Yeah. Could be user error.
User errors, right.
It's only as good as the people that are trained to use it.
That's it. Yeah, no,
I
mean,
I'm far from an IT expert. When I came here, I knew how to use a computer, I knew how to use software. I've learned a whole lot about IT.
You're specking out a lot of good stuff. And yeah,
but brought, you know, you brought PACB in, and they walked through it.
Yeah,
and
they told us what we should be looking for in the camera specs seemed to meet it.
I just looked at
Brian and Amy and
Kim?
Brian Kim and Bob, the email this afternoon with the cutscenes.
Good thing you're here.
You got to bring them back when you got it all.
Bob thought that the equipment looked good. He responded back pretty quick. I don't know if Kim and Brian have had a chance to look it over yet, but it's pretty nice equipment.
So the question Al was asking, we got 38,000 budgeted. This is 38,182. I told him, you know, I mean, if it does hit that, I didn't see any issue with moving someone. We already got a budget for it, and most likely that $182 isn't going to be an issue.
So the other caveat on this is the terms of the proposal that he sent us, because he's got to.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When he orders the stuff,
forgot about
he's putting his cash out of pocket. He's got to pay the vendors. He asked for 50% upfront on the equipment cost. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. They're a reputable company. They've been around for a long time. I know a lot of other... He's worked with a ton of other municipalities and banks, and, I mean, I'm not... quite frankly, the lead time on a lot of the stuff now is 6 to 9 months. So to have a small business out that kind of cash for 6 to 9 months is...
Plus, he doesn't want to get stiff for 38 grand, especially right. When it's customized. So,
right.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I just want to make
sure. I'm okay with it as well, too. Yeah.
Okay with that requirement that he's asked for.
Do we have to get an estimate from other companies, Tony, or no? So is this a specialized service?
The equipment is all off of OGS bid.
Oh, so you don't okay. Need to, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And it's the right there on the first line.
The labor is specialized. Yeah. This would be a
special
services.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm good with
thank
it.
You.
Give it
well,
up.
The only thing, I mean, Al?
Yeah.
We don't have a contract from them, so we would need a resolution to have me sign the contract.
We do, actually. I didn't print
was
the
it
contract.
On here?
I didn't print the contract's like 15 pages, but
yeah.
if you want me to.
We can print the resolution thing. Authorizing the supervisor to sign the contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could throw that on there tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're talking about it here, so it's on the agenda. All right. So write that bad boy up as well. With the 50%
down payment,
yes. Thank you.
There's a lot of finishing of sentences.
Sometimes you just get lost.
Yeah.
Now, Al, will this help at the planning board meetings also?
Yes. What this will do is, from a planning board perspective, if you got an out-of-town developer that wants to make a presentation, they don't necessarily have to come in person. We could do it through Zoom. So it's a benefit to people that want to do business in the town as well.
Sounds good.
And if we ever had training... things like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, serves more than a purpose for just board meetings.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Training.
When, I was talking to Mary Francis from the supervisor from Van Buren. Yeah, and they have a person they're really happy with, so what I think we ought to, yeah, we already got, I'm pretty sure we budgeted for that this year. And should be 10 grand in there, because I was anticipating that's the fee that this individual had. So I was anticipating doing that. So if you want to talk to any of them, to see the highway superintendent, to see if that meets your needs, if it does, because you're the biggest one, we will we'll move in that direction. We can get that going.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah. We just got spring on. Well, I'm going to town hall.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple other things we got to do, but he does.
Training.
Yeah.
On the ADA screen.
Yeah.
Eventually. Keep us.
Okay.
The lead time on those ADA screens, he said right now, has been like 6 to 9 months. So just as an FYI, the audio stuff will come in first before the video stuff.
Okay. Anything else on the...
And it'll be outdated time we get it, so just be used to it.
Easy.
Just like your iPhone, when you get it, it's outdated, right?
Anything, not me, I keep them for 5 years. Anything else on the AV equipment?
No, thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. We'll conclude our work session at 6:55.